I had just begun my work as a hospital chaplain in Amarillo, Texas, when the news rocked the community. 10 Catholic priests had sexually abused the children of the area. Across many years, the bishop had covered up the abuse, stonewalled the accusers, and reassigned the perpetrators to other parishes, thus allowing the molesters to continue finding victims. It turned out that this Texas city had a higher percentage of offenders than nearly anywhere else in the nation. A Catholic chaplain I worked with wasn't surprised, though. She knew the stories and knew some of the victims. In her mind, the church itself was the perpetrator of systemic spiritual abuse. And since then, the news has only gotten worse. The Amarillo Diocese ultimately admitted 30 priests over more than 60 years were involved. They were forced to pay out millions in restitution to victims. And just last month, it was revealed that the head of a national anti-abortion group had been allowed to continue ministry for years in this diocese after multiple women had filed complaints of sexual abuse. He was eventually defrocked and yet continues to lead the national group. Now, Protestants and others can't throw any stones. Over 700 ministers in the Southern Baptist Convention were on a secret list that identified abuse allegations. The churches were kept in the dark and never informed about this. Dozens of women came forward, and eventually resignations for the cover-up took down convention leaders. The pot is still boiling with lawsuits, Department of Justice investigations, and angry accusations against the victims themselves, firing up cyberspace. Sick, shameful, criminal, those words describe the abuse from within the church which has traumatized thousands of victims. I think it's time to face the tragedy and to help the wounded. I'm Larry Payne, and welcome to Tracks for the Journey. I'm seeking to improve your well-being through progressive Christian teaching, psychology, history, and science. You can find out a lot more on my website, tracksforthejourney.com. In this episode, let's have the courage to lift the veil of denial on this issue of spiritual abuse. It is a cause of emotional trauma that can linger for a lifetime. But the good news is, victims can surmount spiritual abuse. The highly publicized cases of sexual abuse perpetrated by religious leaders have shocked the world. Untold thousands have been victimized. And all of us can agree that these are criminal behaviors. Our prayer may be that the healing of psychic wounds can come and justice be served on these criminals. But my focus on this episode, however, will be on emotional abuse through false and toxic spiritual teaching that diminishes well-being. Well-meaning as they may be, some religious leaders are perpetrating doctrines that stymie the goal of Jesus to offer abundant life. And let me say that I'm not accusing any leader of intentionally harming those who follow these ideas. I am saying that when I look at the results of these teachings, it's clear that faithful people have been deeply hurt. That's a good clue that these teachings are also out of line with the best theology that produces healthy living. Doctrines that don't help people live well should be abandoned. Now, seminary training and 45 years of ministry have given me a glimpse of the good and the bad in spiritual teaching. And based on this, I believe there are some current teachings that are barriers to spiritual and emotional health. Jesus promised, "I came that you might have life and have it abundantly." So let's find a way to claim that gift. A crazy story of spiritual abuse is in the book of Acts. Paul and his companions encounter a slave girl who is believed to be a prophetess of the Delphi Oracle. It's a classic story of trafficking, where the woman is owned by men who exploit her for money. Think of a fortune teller slave operating on the streets of Philippi, giving messages that tell the future for a price. The Bible gives her no name, because she's just property to be used for gain. Paul uses his gifts in a wonderful way to confront her and the owners, breaking the psychological control and the exploitive system that bound her. I think this enabled her to escape from her captors and the abuse, provoking her owners to bring a charge of criminal conduct against the apostles. It got them thrown into jail, but she was delivered from this terrible abuse. Yes, spiritual abuse has been around a long time. The first troubling distortion of teaching that I want to highlight is patriarchy. Patriarchy elevates the capacities, power, and privileges of a man above a woman. It's the foundation of such teachings, such as the man is the head of the household and the woman is to submit, that church leaders must be male, that women are too emotional to be in charge of companies, or that men should earn more. At one time, I attended a church that followed the teachings of a man named Bill Gothard. He built his teachings on an extreme patriarchy, where God's authority flowed through men. I think this pervasive ideology is abuse. Why? Because it mounts a corrosive attack on the self-esteem, careers, status, and spirituality of women. It also forges a male privilege that twists the stereotypes and privileges in favor of men. It might be of interest that tragically Gothard was eventually forced out of the ministry by allegations of sexual molestation and abuse, which of course are crimes of patriarchal power. We should grieve the pain patriarchy brings to every woman today and mourn the incalculable loss of human advancement it has produced. Jesus lived out an equality for the sexes that pushed against the patriarchy of his ancient world. I covered this in more detail in the recent episode entitled Gals, Guys, and God. I believe the church should be fighting for full equality and condemning misogyny. I left the Southern Baptist Church when patriarchy was enshrined in the basic doctrines. Each of us should ask, if our church is not offering equality, why are we still attending? And if your company is not providing equal pay, why are you not speaking up? Let's address the patriarchy that is abusing many people. I'll bring to your attention another distortion. It is erotophobia. Erotophobia is defined as the excessive fear of sexual functions. It can be a clinical issue which troubles a person about intimate relationship and requires professional therapy. My use of the word is to characterize the underlying distortion that sex is basically sinful, to be avoided, and must be rigidly controlled. I believe this is abusive. Now, I regret leading a church 30 years ago that promoted a shame-driven purity culture for teens. It was a part of a worldwide history which is full of religious distortions about sex, from idealizing celibacy to criminalizing homosexuality to forcing women to dress in shapeless bags and to perpetuating a double standard of conduct for men versus women. Teens in that purity culture get a distorted message their bodies are instruments of evil, and that all erotic thoughts must be suppressed. It's tragic that this message of shame and impurity sabotages what is normal in human relationships. It reduces ethical decisions to simply obeying rigid purity codes. And against this message of shame, I want to say that we need to stand up. Perhaps such a message has contributed to the criminal actions I talked about on this show. Research has shown that many adults carry dysfunctional messages into adult relationship. It's vital that we promote understanding over ignorance. We can forge ethical decisions that honor our sacred personhood and unite partners in sexual pleasure. Healthy sexual expression is important for full well-being. It can take various healthy attitudes beyond the traditional models that have been idealized but rarely followed in the past. My podcast episode, Sex is Okay with God, has some more information about this. But let's face it, without sex, none of us would be here, right? So let's educate wisely and celebrate person-affirming sex. Hey friends, before we go much further, let me mention that Tracks for the Journey is now available in book form. All of the episodes from 2020, 2021, and 2022 are collected in paperback and Kindle versions. The newest volume, 2022, has 13 chapters, including 40 Billion Miles, Agents of Change, and the popular Sex is Okay with God. Go to Amazon and search for Tracks for the Journey under my name, Larry Payne, and you can get a copy today. And get one for a friend, too. Thanks for your support. I find another troubling teaching in the abusive idea of xenophobia. That's a fancy word for being afraid of others who are different. It is the fear that underlies racism, ethnic hatred, religious exclusion, and class distinctions. American history is littered with the horrific actions of one group against another. We know this from our history. Our forefathers saw Native Americans as savages and waged war against them. I have Native American relatives whose parents were taken from their homes as children and forced to attend re-education centers that destroyed Indian traditions. Religious xenophobia brings some Protestants to condemn Catholics to hell, and vice versa. At various times, we've vilified immigrants from Asia, or Jews from Europe, or the Irish, or Muslims. Xenophobia is abuse because it denies human solidarity. Labels and stereotypes blind us to our similarities. Humans are the same worldwide, and any other message is an affront to the God who made us all in God's image. We should decry racist immigration policies. We should turn away from the religious interpretations that promote their truth as the only truth and all other views as evil. It's okay to promote what you believe. It's not okay to condemn all who reject your parochial ideas. In our world now, Southern Baptist churches who have women ministers are being removed. Catholic parishioners who support pro-choice are being denied communion, and Anglicans who promote LGBTIA equality are being condemned. Do you remember decades ago the tragedy of Jonestown, where Jim Jones, a charismatic man claiming to speak for God, led over 900 people to die by suicide when his cult was threatened? Fear of others who were against his teachings led to this disaster. I think the people we really should fear are the people who promote their power and privilege above all others. How can a person be healthy if we live in divided and polarized communities that thrive on perceiving others as enemies? In contrast to that, Jesus prayed for us to be all one people and welcome the marginalized and the different to the kingdom. We should put that ideal into action. Solidarity with all others in our global civilization is the only way forward. Now, these distortions of faith and practice have harmed many people. The good news is that healing from spiritual trauma is possible. Therapists have made great strides in their recovery from trauma. We can begin the work of trauma recovery from spiritual abuse by following some basic ideas. The first step in recovering from spiritual abuse is to recognize the dysfunction and pain that it's caused. We must choose to face the reality of our condition and not gloss over the trauma that has hurt us. This recognition may come when a woman who realizes she's submitting to the unreasonable demands of her authoritative husband has harmed her emotionally. Or perhaps a Christian carpenter works alongside a devout Muslim who's also a loving community activist for the homeless. In reflection, the teaching that Islam is a false religion, he realizes, has harmed his love for the neighbor, which is the heart of the way Jesus has taught us to live. Awareness of how we've been harmed by that abusive idea is just the beginning. We should take time to grieve what's lost, and owning that we have been a victim is the start of healing. A second step comes when we identify the detrimental thoughts that we've applied to our own lives and seek to build better ideas. I'm all messed up because I'm attracted to girls like me, is a belief that can fill a young woman's heart with toxic shame. Black men are dangerous, is a racist stereotype that destroys community in a pluralistic city. Whatever the priest says must be okay since he's a God-ordained leader, breeds evasion of personal responsibility in moral decision-making. When we can name these distorted thought patterns, there is hope for change to healthy growth. We can begin to love ourselves as Jesus taught. Marlene Weinel writes, "Even though you were taught that God is love and Jesus is the Good Shepherd, you can never be loved unconditionally. You were not okay just as you were, but were intrinsically bad and weak, needy and incomplete. You were saddled with original sin even before you had a chance." Now, I believe the truth is that you have immeasurable worth to God and the world. You have unique capacities and promise. Your body is valuable and it deserves respect. You can appreciate and love this wonderful self that God is a vital part of creating. There's a third step that helps us heal from spiritual trauma, and that is to embrace new beliefs in the company of others. We must have the support from others, people who have walked that path to well-being like we're seeking to do. Change at these deep levels is so challenging, it might fail if we try to do it alone. So it's important to gather with folks who are working through the same type of rebuilding. You could find a new church, an online support group, or a role model who inspires. It's important to keep learning and growing, and keep in mind that God is with you for healthy change. I know a man who was shunned by his family and church when he came out as gay. People told him God hated what he felt and who he was and the community that had accepted him. Years of depression and loneliness followed him as he struggled with that abuse. Then he made a visit to a young minister who really believed the Bible's teaching that God loved every human being in the world, showing in Jesus an acceptance that didn't turn any seeker away. He came to love himself as God created us. And this man felt his faith rekindled. He joined a new place where he could grow in faith and follow his Savior in love. It is tragic that many have suffered from spiritual abuse, but it's wonderful that there is a hope in a path of recovery from teachings that tear down our well-being. And I hope you will discover healing from any distorted ideas that have diminished your life. I can recommend my therapists at BetterHelp who might be of aid to you. Thanks for sharing this episode of Tracks for the Journey. Take a moment to rate and review this podcast on your provider, and that will help me spread the message. I invite you to find more information and resources at tracksforthejourney.com or find the Facebook page with the same title to share your ideas and feedback. Remember that transcripts can be found at tracksforthejourney.buzzsprout.com. And I want to expand this work so your financial support with a small gift at buymeacoffee.com/Larry Payne would be so appreciated. Tracks for the Journey is produced at the Bright Star Studio. All rights reserved. Hosting is by Buzzsprout.com. Music is from Pixabay.com. I want you to keep exploring on your journey to well-being.